Welcome to the Victor Collins Asabre podcast. We pray the Holy Spirit will speak to you and stir you up as you listen to this anointed, transformative, and down-to-earth teaching by Bishop Collins. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Enjoy the message.
Father, thank you for tonight. Jesus Christ is our only living hope. Because of Jesus, we are not hopeless. Speak to us again tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Wonderful. All right. So, Reverend Leon has been transferred to Georgetown. All right. So, he comes here when he has the chance. But the council have decided to, breathe some more life into Georgetown. G has been with me for years, and I'm hoping that, as young as he is, and as he's been working with me for years, that's how you catch an anointing. You catch an anointing by working with somebody, not just being in a branch. Most of the people who go to branches, they backslide. You can ask Abigail. Many of the people who have left the church is because they were sent to a different place. Yeah. Rebecca, where's Ned? He's home. What is he telling you? Maybe you have to come and see me in the office. All right? Okay. It's a private interview. But that's it. He's one of our guys. You know, he's been in the church for years. We feel it's good to putting some energy and life into Georgetown. We are getting older. Yeah, I'm getting older. Yeah, so I have Reverend Calvin here, Mike, and then Joshua, and then the rest who are also supporting from the background. All right? Remember, here we believe more in men in leadership than women. You can go and tell anybody, we don't care about that. Yeah. No. We believe in it. It's good to challenge the men to rise up to a certain level. Are you not tired of men who can't do nothing? Yeah. So, you see that I am oriented more, you can see, oriented more to men in leadership. It doesn't mean that we don't want the ladies. Young men, young Solomon. An old Solomon. You get it. We like the ladies, but the ladies, they are funny. They are very, very funny. Yeah. They are disgusting. Oh, don't mind the smile and all of that. Don't worry.
Sometimes they are out of order.
That's always out of order. Man. I hope you'll be reading a book. Yeah, that's what I'm telling them here. I don't like some of their faces. I'm telling them tonight is the last night. Next Wednesday, I'll tell the ushers every seat is for everybody. There's no special seat. Mm-hmm. You see, you have to be careful. The longer you stay around, the more colder you become. Yeah. The longer you stay around and your mind doesn't work properly, the more colder you become. Yeah. Yes. You are likely to make bigger mistakes when you are around for a longer time than somebody who just came. Mm-hmm. So be careful. All right? Tonight I have a very nice message for you. It's about commitment. You are committed. Commitment too. And the definition of commitment, I think we have it somewhere. Yeah. And when we find it, then we will go to.
Commitment. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Keep the scripture up there.
So commitment, I think, is a very, very important message I'm preaching. Commitment is a state or quality of being dedicated to a cause or activity. Then the second one is really what I'm emphasizing on, and that is an obligation that restricts freedom of action. Now, tonight, commitment two, commitment two is really this, and I will just go into the Bible and we'll finish. Commitment two is conviction without permission. Are you with me? In commitment two, the whole thing I'm talking about is conviction or conviction and action without permission. Let me complete it like that. Conviction and action without permission. Shin. Conviction, action without permission. Conviction, action without permission. That's commitment two. What am I saying? I'm saying this to help you understand that for a while, I have seen and experienced many of my church members, including my pastors, who think that their commitment is based on my permission for them to be absent or not do something. I'll say it again. Many people in this church and your type of Christianity, your type of commitment, is coming from a commitment that is based on permission. It's like, if I am allowed, then. If I can't, I will ask for permission. If I will not, then I will ask for permission. It is as long as I ask for permission, then it is okay. That's the type of conviction many people have. That type of commitment, I should say. Are you following what I'm saying? So your conviction and your action is only based on what you have permission to do. So for example, you will not miss something in your other life for the sake of Christ if your conviction doesn't tell you so. So your commitment now becomes a type of commitment that is diluted. Conviction, action without permission. Commitment too. So we go back to the story in the book of Ruth, chapter 1, and we want to read from verse 10. Ruth chapter 1 and from verse 10. Conviction and action without permission. That is that aspect of commitment. If I go for a prayer meeting right now with some people, I am sure that at least one person will ask for permission to be absent. But then in their hearts and their mind, they call themselves fully committed. But you are committed until there is something that gives you the permission not to be committed. And so the Bible says, and they said unto her, surely we will return with you unto thy people. You get it? Two ladies, they married this woman's children. And because of the marriage, they are the daughters-in-law. If there's no law inside, you are not an in-law. And those are the things that have seeped into Christianity. I was just talking to my boy Hawk the other day, and I'm going to have a conference, not conference, but maybe a 2-day meeting with the men. Responsible and ready is my theme. Responsible and ready. I'll come to the girls. And this one's for the boys. Responsible and ready. Most men are not responsible. And when you are not responsible, you are not ready to engage in a marital commitment. Because marriage alone is looking after somebody's daughter. And so if you are not responsible, you are not ready. If you are not ready, you stay with your mother for 50 years. Yeah. So they told her, we will return unto thee with thee unto thy people. You get it? Then Naomi said, don't turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Naomi is trying to bring an excuse in the situation to test or to show their commitment. So this is a scientific test in the lab. As to somebody who says that you're my mother-in-law, you've been good to me, your sons have died, your husband has died, you're going back to your country, we love you, you have been good to us, we want to go with you, we are going with you. Then the woman brings out the element of things that should not let them go with her. He goes on, verse 12. Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say, I have hope. You have hope for a husband. I said, may you have hope for a husband. A husband is a good thing, though. You just come across people who are not responsible and you are not ready. Look out for that convention. It's coming. Only for the boys. Only for the men. I have hope. I say, if I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieves me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. It's like, if you miss out this lecture, do you think it's worth it going to church? Do you think if you don't go on this job thing, if you lose your job, do you think it is worth going to church? She's bringing about all the different kinds of things that you and I can experience to either highlight our commitment or dim our commitment. Because you are following me as an old woman. You are just connected to me by law. Even if I make nice boys, that's why you are following me. She's saying that I don't have hope for a husband. Then even if I have hope and I have a husband, I get a husband and I give birth, that the boys that you are waiting for, they'll be too little for you to marry them. So again, reasons that are very logic and tangible and make sense. And most of the time, we are always confronted with those realities. The things that we are confronted by, they are not things that are rubbish. That is why sometimes we want people to, we are interested in people say, I hope you understand what I'm saying, or you understand what I'm saying, because it is so reasonable, and you don't understand why such a reasonable excuse is not accepted. Verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And I've said it a few times that many of you, you don't know how to live life. And I hope you listen to me. So that's why I was talking to Hawk one of the nights. Sometimes when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon me, I preach at home. Yeah. Yeah. Because he's very, very blessed to have me preach in the house where I'm not supposed to be preaching. Yeah. And I want him to do well. Because I am doing well. I'm doing very well. God has been so good to me. Yeah. And I want him to do well. But there's a DNA that has to be redesigned. You agree, right? Where is the offering? Bring your offering. There's a DNA that has to be redesigned into being responsible. Your responsibility will raise you up above what the woman is bringing on board. There is no gain in disparity in terms of what the woman has against what the man has. There's no gain on the side of the man. Let me not. The conference has already started. I don't want to. We are talking about Ruth, please. Yeah. I have to fix the date before I finish the conference before the conference starts. You don't know what it is, I'm excited. It's a men's conference, no ladies' conference. Reverend Cap says he doesn't understand why you are so excited. And it's not your conference. Yeah. They want the conference. We'll have a women conference us. Yeah. So she said, behold, your sister-in-law is gone. You see, what Naomi didn't know is that that sister is not a good sister for Ruth did not see that woman as a good sister. He said, your sister-in-law is gone. It means that there's a comparison to somebody else's situation for you to back off and back down. Yeah, there's somebody's example. Oh, you see? Samuel, he left. So if you leave, it's also okay. There's somebody's puncture. Somebody's flat tire is used to check on your conviction action without permission. So he said, she's gone to her people and unto her gods. Return you also. Go after your sister-in-law. Go with her. And Ruth said, you don't know who you're talking to. Don't bother tell me for galang miwe. I ain't going, no. You know who is me. Eh? I don't care whether you have children or what. I have seen something in you and I am not leaving you for nothing. This is what you here sitting down should see in your heart where God is concerned. But it's sad to see that many people are just drifting. They go with emotion. They go with the flow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I say it, and I will say it until it changes. You can be prayed for, you fall down, you holler, you get back up, and your face is like a demon. Yeah. Give me a nicer version, please. This, we die and go west. But Ruth replied, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I'll go." You see, this is not talking. Because when you read, Ruth has about four chapters. When you get to the end of the book, she indeed went. What she said, she did it. It's not mouth. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've had many people in the church over the years. Oh, Bishop, this, that, that. A lot of them are mouths. Yeah. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Are you sure? Your people, your disgusting people will be my disgusting people. And your God will be my God. This is somebody who has seen something beyond the old woman who has problems. Wherever you die, I'll die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything. She's cursing herself for any limitation she might bring. And this is not a man. This is not a man. This is a woman, to a woman who's older, who has been a mother to her. Who actually is actually her son who made her happy, not this woman really. Do you know? Some know, but do you know that Ruth is a foundation of Jesus Christ? The person that Ruth married was called Boaz. Boaz gave birth to Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse, David's father. Jesse was David's father. And David, Bible says that God established the throne of Jesus on the throne of David. Joseph, who married Mary, the virgin, was a grandchild of David. So, this woman's story is not a small story. For many of you who have not even read that book before, she decided to deny her background and accept a different lifestyle, a different food, a different culture. And for that commitment, God said, if there's anything to build a foundation on, is Ruth's commitment. And I'm saying it is commitment that makes the church work and the church grow. When we say Jubilee, you are there. When we say Jubilee, you are there. When we say Bass, you are there. It's commitment. It is that God sees. Conviction and action without permission. I shouldn't even call you if you want to do a Bass. If you have a conviction, if you are committed. If you are committed to a husband, will you cook me dinner? And then you say, no, I will not. What kind of woman and wife is that? You not come back to the house. Out of order. He said, may the Lord punish me severely If I allow anything, any reason, any excuse. That's what I was telling you. Let me tell you. Christmas, church, Christmas time is a big deal. Church, Easter time is a big deal. If I don't see you Good Friday, Easter, Christmas, you are not a committed Christian. I don't care what the reason is. He says that if I allow anything, anything, that's why I'm telling you that you have become used to permission. It's okay because I ask permission. Because you were informed, I told you. Of course, some don't tell me, but some say it. And then when you tell me or you ask me permission, you want me to say what? No or yes. Your commitment is far beyond my permission. I am not the one who's going to reward you when the day comes. That's why I'm saying conviction action without permission. Because many of you, because God has placed me in front of you, if I say this, you say, oh yeah, Bishop said this. Ah, Bishop said it. Ah, Bishop said it. And that's what you live by. There were reasons for Ruth to not be with Naomi. We have the same situation in Genesis chapter 12. From verse 1. Remember, commitment 2. Conviction and action without permission. And the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. Who makes people famous? Who makes people famous? Are you sure it's God? If you want to be famous, you have to stay with God. Anything that makes you famous is fake. Yeah. If it's fame, I will become famous for what God is doing with us here. I'll become famous by this. You say, do you know some church, this, that? I'll become famous because of what God is doing with me, not because of anything. He said, God said, I will bless you and make you famous. If it's fame you're looking for, and you'll be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who treat you with contempt. Hey, are there people like that? That there's somebody who, if you don't treat well, God will also not treat you well. Hey! All the families on earth will be blessed through you. That's why even the Israelis are killing the Palestinians, nobody's able to say properly that they are doing something wrong. Yeah, you're saying Russia, this, Ukraine, and all of that. People are saying Israel. It's the South Africans who took the Israelis to Caribbean Court of Justice, International Court of Justice, for what? Something crimes. Yeah, war crimes, something like that. He said, all the families on earth will be blessed through you. Those who have learned this by experience, they are slow to criticize Israel. Verse 4. So Abram went to his wife Sarai and sat her down at dinner and began to tell her what God has spoken to her about. And Sarah said, are you sure it is God who is speaking to you? Abraham, he actually took his wife. He didn't ask her. He took her. Can you be taken? Trisha, yeah, this commitment too, can you be taken? Yeah, he was resourced. He was able to take his wife. He didn't go and tell God that, Lord, you see, that woman, she won't go. No. He took his wife, Sarah, his nephew, Lot, and all his wealth, and headed for the land of Canaan when they arrived in Canaan. You see, Abraham did not ask anybody for permission to leave. Just as he didn't ask Sarah's permission to take Isaac to go and kill him. I'm saying conviction and action without permission. Abraham didn't ask his wife for any permission. He didn't ask for family. He just obeyed God and did what he knew God had told him to do. That is the kind of people God wants to raise here at the Good Shepherd Church. Committed people with conviction and action without permission. Bishop, is it okay if I come to Samaria and pray? It's not okay, don't come. Bishop, please, I will not be around this Sunday. No problem. Yeah, thumbs up. Conviction and action without permission. Your conviction and your action should be favorable towards God. And not unfavorable. Are you with me? Two more scriptures. I'll be done. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. I think verse 20. You see, when many people in the Bible, they were committed to their convictions with actions, without permission. That's why Jesus was very concerned about this man at the pool of Bethesda. He said, are you sure you want to be healed? It's like, you seem to have a certain conviction about this pool and the healing powers that it. So you have actually left your house, you've come here. But somehow, there have been excuses and issues that have prevented you from really taking hold of what you are supposed to take hold of. Woman with the issue of blood. She did not write a letter to the security protocol of Jesus. She said, "Dear Peter, Simon Peter, head of security, Jesus' discipleship. Is it okay? I'm bleeding. Is it okay when Jesus is passing for you to just make way for me with the sirens so that I can touch the hem of Jesus' garment because I'm really desperate for healing." All the miracles and the things that we see in the Bible, notable healings and change of lives and all of that, they were done by people who did not seek permission for what they wanted. Yeah. There's a guy called Blind Bartimaeus. The Bible says he was blind. He heard Jesus was passing by. He said, "What? Jesus?" Yeah. He shouted at the top of his voice. And people said, "Bro, shut up." Then he continued, because that was what he had. He couldn't see to get up and say, "I'm going here." So what he had was to try and get the attention of Jesus without breaking protocol. Protocol was not important to him. You see, protocol is for people who don't have a conviction and they are not committed. They want permission. If you are not wanted, you'll be told. Yeah, no, nobody's afraid of you to say, I don't want to talk to you, but because you have come, I frighten for tell you. Me want to talk to you. That's not like that.
Yeah. The woman with the alabaster box. She She realized, she saw Jesus come to Bethany in the house of, and she went to, she did not, do you think she went to, she wrote a letter to Bureau of National Investigations? Judas in charge of National Investigations. Is it okay when Jesus comes to the Simon the leper's house that I bring my alabaster box and pour it? You hear a no. The answer will not be favorable. The things between you and what you need to do to please God, there's so many excuses. So the Apostle Paul says here in Acts chapter 20, verse 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Are you reading with me? Give me 22 and 23. Save that, except that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. It's like there's no freedom. There's no restriction. Commitment without freedom. I'm bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. All that I hear the Holy Spirit saying is that there are problems. There are problems. There are problems. There are problems. I'm bound. I'm determined in my spirit. I'm going to Jerusalem. And I don't know what is ahead. But the Holy Spirit is telling me that there are going to be problems. There are going to be issues. There are going to be challenges. The mission is not going to be easy. The branch is not going to be easy. This challenge that God has given me is not going to be easy. It's what is ahead. I don't hear anything nice about it. Verse 24. Very interesting verse. But none of these things I am hearing and is going through my head moves me. What moves you? Do you know that some things have moved you? You are not where you used to be. I know. I'm the pastor here for years. I remember when Anita used to preach on a horse cart. Yeah. Famous horse cart preacher. None of the negative, none of the issues, none of the psychological things, that none of them move me, because I am bound in my spirit. The commitment I have to go to Jerusalem. Ruth said, shut your mouth. Don't tell me like a galang miwe. But none of the things that the Spirit is talking. It's not demons. It's not people. The Spirit. I know it is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not giving me nice things that are ahead. But he says, but none of these things, even if God says this, I don't care. No, I wanted to go, but I felt the Holy Spirit says I shouldn't go, so I don't want to go. No, Paul says, what the Spirit says, I don't care. May we have such Christians in Good Shepherd Church. I say, may we have such Christians committed in Good Shepherd Church. That God will tell you that this thing is there. Say, God, you don't know me. You don't know me. I'm still going. Once it's for you, I don't care what's ahead. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself.
So does it mean that when we make these excuses, we rather are trying to save ourselves? Our lives are very dear to us. The life that was bought, that is not your own. That life now, because of, I'm walking in power, I'm walking in miracles, I live a life. That life now has, the life now has become dear to you instead of becoming dear to the one who gave it to you. I hope somebody's listening to me tonight. Because if I tell you, bring bus, you will not bring bus. If I say, come and pray, you will not come and pray. And I say, let's fast, you will not fast. There is no commitment. I do not count my life dear unto myself. Why? Because the people who do that, they don't finish their purpose. They don't please God. He said, I don't do that so that I might finish my course. Everybody has a course. Do you know that? Do you know everybody has a course? Now, you see, this afternoon I was watching the guys when they finish working. You have Mike, you have Andre, you have Talman, and you have Earl. I'm talking about, I might finish my course. So, I saw Mike head towards the Macario's house. That's after work. Then I see Earl walk to the cathedral. He starts opening the doors. Then I see Andre takes the pressure washer and begins to clean melancholically the ransom. This is after work. I see Talman, who is still trying to float and make sure that the concrete that we've poured on the ground that you are going to walk on is smooth and it is what it should be. It was very interesting what everybody had to do and went to do. It's very interesting. If they had not dispersed in that manner, he would have also said something to me. Nobody told him anything. It is something that is in them that made them possess. That is why I said, when I don't see you here, I see how disconnected you are from my vision. You're very disconnected. You see, the way we are going to walk around is not even necessary. Have you been to a church where there's a place you walk? It's even a form of enlightenment. That there's a place, this place, you can't walk here, and here you walk here. There are things you can do and things you can't do. There are things that are black and there are things that are white. There are things that are called sin and there are things that are called righteous. I brought a guy here, a mason, to try and push in some work for us. We walk behind the cathedral. And he said, oh, this, I've never seen anything like this before in a church. I said, welcome to our church. Here we make things nice. Yeah, we create them. The thing we are working on is it's like we are drinking the cement. It's like that. And slings, 40 sack of cement like that. Just trying to create a place where, you see, it's like this. When it starts raining, you see how useful the walkways are. Because you and I, we've been here when it starts raining. You can't even walk on the road. Now that you walk and there's a lot of sand. I do not count my life dear unto myself. If you count your life dear unto yourself, you will not finish your course. And you will not finish it with joy. And you will not, and the ministry which you have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Conviction, action without permission. It's so beautiful to see how people are oriented because of responsibility and commitment.
It's very beautiful.
I hope you are learning something. You are there. You see, many of you here are not receiving pastoral care because you don't want it.
I'll say it again.
You are like a patient at a hospital who doesn't want the doctor to come and look after you.
Some of you are like that. I don't think you understand, so I'll go on.
That's why your life has not gotten better.
Yeah.
But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself,
so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry also which God has given to me, I might finish it. That the one that I'm supposed to be preaching, I might finish it.
Acts chapter 21, my last scripture.
The salvation in your name, Jesus Christ. I live in hope. Verse 10 of Acts chapter 21. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost. Remember Acts chapter 20, verse 20. The apostle says that he is going to Jerusalem. And the Spirit is witnessing that it's only issues, incarcerations ahead. But he said none of these things move him. The next chapter, which is a few days later, the next day, a prophet from Judea comes who's called Agabus. He takes Paul's covering cloth or whatever. He binds his hands and feet and he said that the Holy Ghost says, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Is that not what Opa did? The woman said, you know what, girl, doesn't make sense. I'm too old. Even if I'm old and I make children, you're going 50 years old, you're going to like a little boy from 2 years old? What a 2-year-old boy can do for you? But Ruth said, don't tell me nothing. I know what I'm doing. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Sister Cherry has been here for years. She's actually the one who brought Mr. Clark into the picture. Yeah, she brought him here. I don't know how many of you can do what Cherry has done in terms of living here. You have all kinds of stories. No, people are not excited at all. It's just, I know that many years ago before today. But that is when God separates people from other people. She's here, yes. Married and she's here.
All her life is in one room. But she's here. You can say whatever you want to say. But she has a conviction and there's an action without permission. The next verse. We told him not to go to Jerusalem. How many people don't tell you that, Amma, if you don't go to church one day, you're going to die? You're going to die? Then Paul answered, the man with commitment, conviction with action without permission. We are all moved by prophecy and what the Lord is saying. The Bible says, Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? I make your face so that I should change my mind? You want to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die. Stand to your feet and finish. Is this how we behave towards the things of God? Oh, we are full of excuses. Thank God for somebody like the Apostle Paul who has something that was written for us to read. And I'm sure, I don't have to be told, there are people in the Georgetown Church who don't want to come to Samaria. When you mention Samaria, they don't want to hear about it. Not come to live, come for meeting. Once a week. I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Be careful the things that come your way when you have to do something for God. Be careful. What does the 14 say? Yes, it's a matter of Give me New Living Translation. When it was clear that we could not persuade him, we gave up. When Naomi realized that she could not push Ruth back, I don't need your permission. I believe this is what God wants me to do, and I'll do it. We are emotional Christians. What we don't want to do is do something that will make somebody feel bad, or somebody say it's something we can't do. The man, it makes us very pretensive.
Just thank Jesus. His lifeless body on that day began to breathe. He's our living hope. Are you grateful? Do you need any proof to be grateful to God? It's okay to be emotional, you know. It's okay to express yourself. This feeling, this love and gratitude that doesn't make you express yourself, it's a fake one.
Hallelujah.
As acting. God gave us emotions.
On me, you have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Father, tonight, we bless you, we give you praise, we adore you. Jesus, how great the chasm was great. But the gap has been taken away. We have been brought in here. Thank you for commitment to conviction and action without permission. We have seen how many in the scriptures moved beyond anyone's permission for your sake. Convictions they had is what made them make the moves to the wherever destination that conviction took them. I pray a Good Shepherd Church will be a church like that, where we are not concerned about the things we will face because of our choice in Christ Jesus and our stance with Him. I give you praise, I give you glory, and I thank you for speaking to us tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, and somebody said amen.
For booking and more information on the ministry of Victor Collins, please call us on 592-691-5301 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. God richly bless you.